Well, when I get to heaven and I get a new body, I'm going to ask the Lord if I can sing like Brother Don Lane. What about y'all? I thought about that, Brother Lane. I'm not supposed to be covetous, you know? But anyway, I'm battling that really bad right now. What a blessing. Thank you, young people, for that wonderful song. What a blessing. I love to see young people serve the Lord, don't you? Turn your Bibles, 1 John chapter number 2 tonight. We've been working our way through the epistles of John, and we're in 1 John chapter number 2. We're dealing with the end-time deception. We're unmasking the Antichrist. Now, we understand that there is a future man of sin that will step on the scene after the church, those who are saved, God's saints, are raptured to heaven. Some point after that, this man of sin that the Bible talks about, John calls him the Antichrist, Paul calls him the man of sin, that wicked one, he said, will be revealed. Nobody knows who he is. We don't know when he's going. You know, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for the Lord's Christ in our day. But as there is an Antichrist, he said there are already the Antichrists, plural. And he's talking about false teachers, just as the Antichrist will be a man of deception, great deception. So there are deceivers in the world even today that would seek to oppose and would seek to work against the Lord Jesus Christ and His churches, His work in the world through false teaching and through false doctrine. And John's warning his readers, he's warning us tonight about those that would seduce us. Look, if you would, verse number 18, 1 John chapter number 2. Little children. A term of endearment. It shows the heart of love he had for those that he cared for and pastored and he was writing to. And aren't you glad we're God's little children? Isn't that a blessing? It is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, that's future, even now, presently, are there many Antichrists whereby we know, we perceive, we understand that it is the last time that we're living in the end days, in the days prior to the coming of the Lord. Verse 19. They, talking about these Antichrists, went out from us. That means at one time they were with them, but now they've went out from them. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, shown forth, that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. I'd underline that phrase in my Bible. No lie is of the truth. We hold in our hands the absolute revealed truth of the Creator God of the universe. God cannot and has not and will not tell a lie. Satan cannot tell the truth. He is a liar and the originator, the father of it. And we need to remember that. And so no lie is of the truth. The Bible is reliable. It's trustworthy. It's true. And you and I can build our lives upon the truth. Notice he says in verse 22, who is a liar? He's now differentiating between those who tell the truth and those who are telling a lie. How do we recognize the liar? Who is a liar as it relates to truth? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide, remain in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, why in the world, in the midst of that, did he give a promise about eternal life? Because these false teachers had disrupted the peace and the assurance of those to whom John was writing. You see, if a person gets carried away in false doctrine, in false teaching, all right, who would be genuinely saved? You know, there are times that believers get led astray by false teachers and false preachers and those that propagate a lie. And when they do, it confuses them about this matter of eternal life. And these that were seducing them had went out from them, and they were claiming that John's readers, those to whom it's writing, weren't even really saved. They didn't know God because they were not of the truth. And you know what? They were telling lies. And John's assuring them, listen, regardless of what these false teachers are saying, God has given you eternal life. Aren't you glad tonight for eternal life? Notice he goes on to say, verse 26, these things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Does that mean we don't need preachers and teachers? No. What it's saying is that we have an internal capacity to understand what's true and what's wrong. An ability to discern. We talked about that last Sunday night. The ability to discern between truth and error. And the more we grow in the Lord, the more we grow in our understanding of the Word of God, the better able we are to have what I would describe as a built-in lie detector. Isn't that good? That we can tell that somebody's lying to us because what they're saying is not lining up with what we know to be true, the Word of God. He goes on to say, but it's the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Let's take some time tonight and unmask the Antichrist. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for Your truth. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people of truth. That, Lord, not only would we believe the truth, but we would live it out in our everyday lives. Lord, that we would reflect truth to a world that is filled with lies and falsehood. And Lord, that has been taken captive by Satan's lies. Lord, the only way that we're ever going to dispel the darkness is to shine the light of Your Word. I pray, Lord, that we would be those who would shine the truth in our daily walk and activity, and Lord, in our daily witness for You, and that people not only would hear it from our lips, but they would see the reality of it in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be strong Christians. Help us to be Bible strong in this day. And we're going to thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, John's writing to warn them as well as us about those who would seduce us or seek to lead us astray from the truth. John has already warned them about the conflict between light and darkness. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. If I'm going to have fellowship with God, then I need to be a person who walks in the light as He is in the light. And I need to love the light and live in the light. And that's what he's saying. And then he's going to talk about love and hate. That's going to be a key theme in the book of 1 John, that we're to love the brethren. And so we find that we're not to be those who hate our fellow brother and sister in the Lord Jesus. And then he's going to talk about this contrast and being able to discern between truth and error. Do you realize that we live in a world that is filled with satanic lies that seek to take people captive and lead them away from the truth? Remember 1 Timothy 4:1 was a cross-reference to these verses where Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, then in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. And so we find that Satan has concocted lies and men who are what I would understand been deceived and taken captive by the devil to become, or women for that matter, a person becomes his spokesperson. They begin to propagate his lies rather than his truth, and they seek to lead people away from the truth into error. And John said to guard yourself against those who he's describing here as Antichrist, those who are against the Lord. They're opposed to the truth of God. And we find that. And so we're to be a discerning Christian. We talked about that last Sunday night. That we're to have the ability to discern or to judge or understand or perceive the difference between what's true and what's not true. And we found that the test is in verse number 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Do you realize that any movement Any man or woman who claims to be of God, many times, almost without fail, you can determine the validity of what they say by what they teach about the person of Jesus Christ. Hey, the Antichrist are those who deny His deity. They deny that He was born of a virgin. They deny His sinless life. They deny His substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary. They deny His resurrection, bodily resurrection from the dead. They deny the fact that He's coming again. Friend, listen, they do not teach and preach the Jesus of the Bible. And friend, that is why that John calls them Antichrist, because they're in opposition to the person of Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm going to tell you, there ought to be something that rise up in our hearts about those who would deny and discredit and belittle and teach something different about our Savior than what's true of Him. So they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is there a person they deny, you're going to find that there's a place that they desert. Look over in verse number 19. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. You're going to see some personal pronouns, they and us. They would be the Antichrist, those false teachers. Us would be the true believers. And He said that they went out from us because they were not of us. They were not of the truth. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They would have remained in the truth, but they went out. They went out from us, John's saying, that they might be manifest, that we might see them for what they are, that they're not all of us. And that word manifest means to be revealed or made known. They were at one time with the people of God. They were in their midst. But over time, the truth was exposing the lie. The light was shining on the darkness, and they couldn't stand the truth, and they couldn't stand the light. And so they left, and they seek to draw a following after them from those that are true believers. And John said the very fact that they're not remaining with us in the truth, and they've departed from it, and departed from the people of God and the church of the living God, because they've done that, it reveals to us who and what they really are and who and what they're about. That's what He's saying. And He said you can detect them not only because of who they deny, but also for what they desert. They desert not only the Lord, but His truth and His church. It's not to say that everyone who drops out of church is a false believer or a false teacher. John's not talking about a backslider or a person who's gotten cold on God and they're not as faithful as they one time were. He's describing a person that has abandoned God and the truth of God and what we'd understand as the Christian faith, the faith once delivered to the saints. Let me give you an illustration. Episcopalian Bishop John Spung. He's written several books in which he denies the person and work of Christ. This was some years ago. He wrote an open letter to the late Jerry Falwell, who's now with the Lord in heaven, because of his stand against the alternative lifestyle of homosexuality and transgender and all of that. And here's what he wrote, just a little excerpt. He said this. He said, I, like you, Jerry, was raised in a Southern fundamental church. I got over it, and I hope you can too. That's what we mean. Friend, there's just some things I don't know about you I don't want to get over. Not only do I see the person they deny, the place they desert, but I want you to know the people they deceive. You see that over in verse number 26. He said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Satan wants to draw you and me away from the truth of God. He does. He doesn't care how he do it, does it? He doesn't care who he uses. He does not want us to remain in truth, because when you and I remain in truth, then we remain a force for God in the world. But yet when we depart from the truth, God cannot use us in the way that He desires to use us, because we're no longer abiding or walking in fellowship with Him. And so the Lord is describing these false teachers and preachers and all of that as wolves. The Lord describes them as wolves in sheep clothing. Although they deny the fundamental truths of the Bible, they don't always throw away their religious garb, their robes and titles and positions, even within Christendom. And they seek to say, listen, here's what I say to a person that is in a religious setting, whether it's a college, a church, whatever, and they don't believe the Bible. Okay? And they don't believe the truth that the Bible teaches about Jesus. They try to explain it away, try to water it down. You know, why not just be honest and show you true color and go out and get a real job? That's my thought. Why do you want to be a huckster? Why do you want to be a swindler? Why do you want to be somebody pretending to be something you're not and destroying the faith of those who are God's true people? Why do you want to do that? You know why? Because they're empowered and energized by the devil himself. God said, be a discerning Christian. He said, you're going to know them because of who they deny, what they desert. They desert the truth and the people they seek to deceive. Not only do I see that God, if we're going to unmask the Antichrist, do I need to be a discerning Christian to be able to detect the truth from error, the one who speaks for God and the one who doesn't speak for God. But in order to do that, I need to be an abiding Christian. You're going to find a key word used many times just in the verses we read tonight, very key to the entire book of 1 John, and it's the word abide. It's also continue in verse number 24, same word. And so you're going to find that they are to abide, that we're to abide in God. I'm really fading in and out. All right. So put me right here. Okay. All right. There we go. I'm going to try to stay right here. All right. I'm going to try to do that. And so there are two safeguards against error. The first one is this. We are to abide in the truth of God. The best way to be able to keep myself from error is to abide or remain in the truth. John 17:17. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Look at verse number 21. John said, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. You as God's people know the truth. I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, because you do know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. Folks, when you and I draw out from this book the very truths of God, and we internalize them, and we make them real in our lives, and we live them out, what God's saying is that we're abiding in the truth, and it enables us to withstand and not be led astray from those that would teach something contrary to truth. The Bible is the litmus test of truth. John makes an emphatic statement that truth and error are mutually exclusive and no lies of the truth. So anything that's contrary to the clear teachings of the Word of God, this book that you hold in your hand, is a lie. And I don't care where it comes from. I don't care if it's a scientist in a white coat that tries to deny the Word of God. For in the moment he denies this book, that man's a liar. It might be a revisionist historian who denies biblical history as it's revealed in the Word of God. The moment he begins to depart from the truth of this book, that man, that woman, that individual is a liar. Friend, this is truth. Either God is true or he's not. There's no middle ground. And either this Bible is true or it's not. And folks, if God isn't true and he's not a God of truth and this book isn't true, then what we need to do is throw it in the garbage can and just go on out into the world. I'm just being honest. But if it is the truth, then everything that is contrary to it is a lie. I don't have to prove the Bible. The burden of proof is not on us, it's on them. Well, prove there's a God. Will you prove there's not one? You prove the Bible's true, you prove it's not. Why is the burden of proof on us? See, Satan wants to turn, he wants to turn it on us, and what you need to do is turn it back on them. You see, the authority for what we believe and how we behave is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of the living God. Notice down in verse 24, let that therefore abide, there's our word, in you, which you have heard from the beginning. 11 times he's going to use this word abide, continue, remain. And what they heard from the beginning were the truths that they had been taught from the Word of God from the very first moments that they were saved.
from the apostles. And he's talking here about the apostles' doctrines revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. And Jude says we're to be building up ourselves on our most holy faith. And Christian, let me just tell you, I don't think there's anything wrong with learning about cults and world religions and false teachings and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But can I tell you, better than looking and learning about error is to look into and learn the truth. Because if I know the truth, I can spot the error wherever I'm going to find it. That's why we ought to daily read the Word of God, but not just read it, but apply it. Get it into our lives and internalize it. Faithful attendance to the worship services of the church. And I understand that we're preaching in a day where we're a little bit different right now because of how we're set up, and some are online because of needs in their own life and situations there. We understand that. But even whether you're in-house or online, we ought to be faithful to every service, plugged in. That's why when we were totally online for about 8 weeks or however long it was, I can't remember exactly, 9 weeks, whatever that length of time was, I resisted the idea of only meeting one time or preaching one time a week. My goal and my desire was to have as close to the real thing in-house as we could possibly. That's why we had group singing. That's why we opened the Word of God and preached and taught Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Why, preacher? Because not only it is essential for our spiritual growth and for us to be able to draw nigh to God, and not only is our God worthy of us worshiping and meeting with Him three times a week. Amen? He's worthy of that. I wanted to keep that consistency and that habit in our lives because, see, once we begin to let those things drop out of our lives, it's hard to ever get back into that area and routine. And I promise you, there will be churches that there will not be a Sunday night after this, and there will not be a Wednesday night after this, because they stopped having them. And it'll be hard to ever bring it back. Because the people that were in those services, whether they were there in-house or should have been watching online, have found other things to do now. You know, really, most of what we've ever learned about God, you know where we've learned it? In a place like this. Isn't that true? Not only am I to abide in the truth of God, but church, tonight we need to abide in the Spirit of God. There are three items I thank God for just about every day of my life. First of all, I thank God for His Son. The second thing I thank God for is my own salvation. I'm not worthy of it, but I sure am thankful for it. The third thing I thank God, item I thank God for on a daily basis is the Holy Spirit. Not only do I have a great high priest interceding for me in heaven, but I've got a wonderful comforter living in my heart called the Spirit of the living God. God in us. That's powerful, isn't it? Friend, God is more than just with us. He is in us. And God said, just as He abides in us, we're to be abiding in Him. Look at verse 20. But ye have an unction. Now, whenever we think of that word unction, we think of power, energy. But this is not energy to do. This is energy to know, to understand, to perceive. It's the same word anointing down in verse number 27. It means to discern. It speaks of the ability to distinguish, to judge between right and wrong, truth and error, false and true. It's unctions not just for a select group of super saints, it's for all saints. We all have. If you're saved, you have the unction. If you're saved, you're anointed. I understand. I'm thankful for those who pray for me. And we'll pray something similar to this sometimes when we're praying for a preacher. I don't mean to back up quite so much. I know it drops the volume. I'll try to be a little more sensitive to that. But we pray, Lord, anoint my preacher. Lord, anoint the evangelist. Lord, anoint my Sunday school teacher. Lord, and I understand what we mean by that. What we're saying, God, fill them, use them, empower them. And by the way, we ought to pray that way. But the anointing of this verse is not an anointing for power to serve. It's an anointing that every Christian has given to them by God through the indwelling Holy Spirit to know. To know the truth and to detect the lie. By the way, you know what? You're using this God-given ability right now. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm hearing, yeah, Amen. I'm watching heads do this. As I'm preaching, the Spirit of God is doing something in your heart as we look into the Bible. He's confirming it. And there's someone inside of you or something, we're going to use the word something, that's saying that's right. That's the truth. You can believe that. But that something's actually someone. It's the Spirit of God. That's the anointing. Let me give you a verse to jot down right here, real close to this verse. John 16:13. I'm going to read it to you. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Have you noticed how often God talks about truth? Do you realize in our postmodern day there is no truth in the minds of most college teachers and professors that out in the world? There's no truth. There's no relevant truth. Just what's true to you or what's true to me. Here's the postmodern word. Well, if it works for you, that's it. Well, I know if that Christian stuff works for you, that's fine. But for me, wait a minute. No, let me tell you something. This thing called Bible Christianity works for everybody that receives it. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit will never promote Himself. He always promotes Christ. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Down in verse 27, He mentions it again. Look down verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. That means I don't have to. I've got a built-in truth detector and lie detector called the Holy Spirit that confirms in my heart what's true and a lie. And as I grow in my understanding of the Word of God, it sharpens that spiritual discernment that the Holy Spirit can use in my life to help me to detect what's right and what's wrong and what's truth and what's error. It's that same word, unction. Now, I mentioned earlier, it doesn't mean there's no place for preachers and teachers of God's Word. But what it does mean is that we possess the author of the Bible within us. That's an exciting thing. You ever read something and you thought, boy, I wish I had the author here. Especially poetry. You know, when I was in school and you had to read poems and they try to ask you what the poem meant. And I'm not really literary in that area. And I'm like, it just rhymes to me. You know, I'm not feeling nothing. You know, and I don't. I'm sorry, Miss Diana. I am. Our English teacher's giving me the look right now. But I'm getting it, buddy. I'm with you. She's giving it to me. But I'm not giving our teenagers in Miss Schaefer's class an out. Okay? You need to understand the poetry. All right? I just didn't get it. All right? I just didn't. My concrete mind didn't work in those abstracts. And so anyway, I got to go into teacher training tomorrow, and I'm already scared. I ain't got there yet. I even lost what I was going to say. It scared me so much. But anyway, you ever thought, can I just finish this and we're just going to forget I said all that other stuff? And that didn't really happen. Okay, we're in the abstract right now and that really didn't happen. You really didn't hear that. And so anyway, don't you wish you had the author of that poem with you and say, hey, what was you talking about right there? What did you mean? Well, I missed it. Boy, what you were thinking, what I was thinking wasn't the same when you wrote that. Or boy, yeah, we're right on target. You know, folks, when you open the Bible, the author of it lives in your heart. And that's why you have someone in you that can say this is the truth. The Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us into all truth, to lead us away from error, that the truth of God might abide and remain in us as we yield to His leadership in our lives. Listen, you want to unmask the Antichrist, then be a discerning Christian. You need to be an abiding Christian. And then thirdly, be a conquering Christian. Look over at 1 John chapter 4, a parallel on dealing with Antichrist right here in the same book. And he's going to go over there. And I want you to look what he says in verse number 2. He said, let's look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Behind every preacher is a spirit. And it's not always the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we're to try the spirits. We're to put them to the test whether they are of God. Because many false prophets, antichrists, are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you can know the Spirit of God's teaching. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. They don't deny His deity. They don't deny His humanity. They don't deny His sinlessness and His virgin birth and His sacrificial death. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come? And even now is it already in the world, but you don't have to be afraid of it. I just added that phrase. I don't have to be afraid of the false teacher. I don't have to be afraid of error. Why? Because not only the one who enables me to know the truth enables me to overcome the lie. Look at verse number four. Ye are of God, little children. He's reminding them that they're of God. The false teachers are the ones. See, they've been telling these believers they're not of God. They don't really know God. You're not initiated in our secrets. You don't understand. And it had them all confused. And John, the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to them and to us saying, listen, let me confirm to you, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've already overcome them. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And we love that verse and we pull it out for spiritual warfare and battling against the devil. And that's not wrong. But understanding within the context, it's dealing with truth and error and overcoming the lies of Satan, the wicked one. And God said, I don't have to fear the lie because I have the truth, the Spirit of truth inside of me that enables me to conquer and win and overcome the lie as I believe and live in God's truth in my everyday life. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The victor abides in us, and therefore we're victors. I'm going to give you one more and I'm done. Go back to chapter 2. We're unmasking the Antichrist. We're discerning Christian. We're abiding Christian. We're conquering Christian. Now, I'm going to be just a little, I'm going to lack a little symmetry in this last point, okay? So all of you preachers have been in my preaching class and I've taught you preaching, okay? This is when you can break the rule because I couldn't come up with another ing, something with an ing ending, okay? Be a confident Christian. Now, I looked at all kinds of words and I went to the thesaurus and nothing helped me. And so I just said, I'm going to tell you, be a confident Christian. That's going to work, isn't it? Now, that didn't come up because I didn't give that to Brother Lane earlier, okay, to go on there. I sort of added it later. Look down at verse number 28. We're going to come back to it later of chapter 2. And now, little children, abide in Him. Christian, the best thing that you and I can do to win in the Christian life is to remain in fellowship with God. Abide in Him. Jesus said that without Him we can do nothing, and that would include overcoming the lies that fill this world. We need Him. And as we abide in Him, and we abide in His truth, what's going to happen? When He shall appear, when He comes, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. When Jesus comes, He's looking to that day when we stand before Him. And I'm going to preach a whole message out of these verses along those lines probably in the next week. But as I looked and saw how this goes together, it impressed upon me that John was saying that as we abide in the Lord and we abide in His truth and we resist the lie and we reject the lie and we expose the lie. You following me? When we do that, you know what? It brings confidence, because when we fall prey to the lies, there's going to come a day we'll stand before the Lord and we'll be ashamed that we didn't abide in the truth and we didn't remain in the truth and we didn't follow after the truth. Let's determine tonight to be men and women of God, young people of God, who are going to abide in Him by abiding in the truth. This book needs to be the most important book in your life. Listen, I love to read. I read a vast array of things. I do. I read fiction. I read nonfiction. I read all kinds of things. I love to read, okay? But I never want that to take the place of this. The devil's never going to fight you to read Field and Stream or Outdoor Life or Blooms and Garden. I don't know the names of those women magazines. I just know my wife gets them. She shows me a cake in them every once in a while or something. And I'm saying, I need that, you know. The devil doesn't care if you read it. He don't care if you read blogs. He don't care if you scroll Facebook and Instagram for hours. He don't care. He's not going to fight you. You're not going to find a resistance. But he'll give you everything in the world to do to keep you from reading this book. Because this book is the truth. Not what so-and-so said on her blog or her post. Not what Mr. So-and-so said in his blog or his post or whatever. It's what this book says. This is where the truth lies. And we must love this book. And you say, preacher, what do you do when you don't feel like reading your Bible? I read my Bible. I read it. I force myself to read it. You say, preacher, you're a preacher. You ought to always want to read your Bible. I'm still a person living in a body of flesh, and I've got a wicked flesh just like you have a wicked flesh. And sometimes my flesh don't want to be spiritual. Does yours? All the time. And there's where you have to force it to be spiritual. And open this book when we're tired. Open this book when we think we don't get anything out of it. Open this book when we don't understand it. Because you know what? You're getting more than you realize you're getting. Okay? Let's be people of the truth. Lead your family in truth. How important that is. You say, preacher, I don't understand a lot about the Bible. I ain't been a Christian long. It's okay. It takes time. That's why you cling to people that maybe have been saved longer than you have, and that you trust them, that they're people of the truth, and that they can help you till you get to that point. Because you know what? The more you spend in the Bible, you will get there. It just takes time. Let's just determine. You remember, some of you remember the theme we had years ago, Bible Strong. How many still remember that theme? Bible Strong. We preached an entire year about being Bible Strong out of 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. You remember that? And we just want to be people that are strong in the Bible. Well, that theme hadn't changed, by the way. We just added to them. That's just something we wanted to ingrain in ourselves, to be a people who were Bible Strong. Because if we're strong in the book, we'll be strong in the Lord and in His truth. My. Our God cares about truth, and so should we. Let's expose the lie by living the truth. Let's stand to our feet tonight.